life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Hello everybody, I'm Sylvie Avery and welcome to the Spirits Work Show, the metaphysical show designed to help you think outside of the box. Each week through our conversation with our spirit friends, we bring you information that will help you to become more aware of the nature of your existence when my husband Mick Avery deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay. And if you have something you would like to ask or add to our discussion, then it's toll-free in the US and Canada, and that's 888-815-9756. International callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. But that actually isn't toll-free. You have to pay for that, but it's only a quick call. And I'd just like to say that it's general questions. It's not a personal reading. Show. It's basically anything that you think a spirit guide from the other side of life can help you with. So if you would like a personal reading, however, then we do Akashic readings, and you can find out about them on our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, and you go to the Akashic reading page and you can find out more about that. And that's anywhere in the world. We phone you, and it's a spiritual reading, and then you can get all sorts of information from the website and find out about that. But as I say, the show is general questions about life, the universe, and everything that you think that the spirit world
can help you with the readings. We don't take calls from mobiles, do we?
We phone anywhere, you anywhere, but as long as it's on landline or Skype.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, that's. Anyway, let's just see what's going on here. And Mick will explain to you very shortly what's going to be happening with him. And say hello to you.
Yeah. Hi, everyone.
You're just...
I am me, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
I'm Mick Avery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to...
He was just a bit distracted then with the...
I'm sorry. We're just having some
trouble with the controls here, but I'll deal with that.
Welcome to Spirits Work, everyone, on the fabulous and ever-present and ever-growing bbsradio.com. We're here live every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, which is 1 p.m. EST, and that is 6 p.m. GMT. Now, if you'd like to know more about us and maybe book an Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our website, which is at www.spirit-teaching.com. As Sylvie said, I am on the show. I go into the deep trance state and bring through Gregory Hay, a spirit guide who will take over from me for the rest of the whole show. When I move out of my body, he moves in, which enables the pure communication between our worlds to take place. And without further ado, I'm going to hand you back, and I'm going to do just that very thing.
Exactly. That's, yeah. So hopefully our microphone is on properly now, and we had a few problems there, but it should be okay now. Hope everybody can hear us. Okay.
Yeah. So although I can't actually see the, the text bit seems to have gotten lost for some reason, and I don't know why that is. I can't see the text bit. Conversation.
Okay, well, anyway, I'm going to talk to you about the aim of our show is to share knowledge that ordinarily you wouldn't have access to, and on the show we discuss sensitive and complex topics with the view that through the dissemination of information that we bring, hopefully you can make the necessary changes to create a more peaceful and stable world. So Mick's still fiddling around with the controls here, and he's supposed to be actually going into trance now.
That's okay.
In fact, any minute now. Because if you go off and you've messed that up for me, I can't.
I haven't messed anything up, dear. Honest. I haven't. Bye bye.
Okay. Anyway, he's going now. So Gregory will be coming through, and he's the spirit guide and spokesperson for a massive group of experts and scholars from all walks of life who call themselves the White Cloud Group. They are an educational group who are here to relay knowledge that will help humanity onto a road of recovery, or at least perhaps gain a new perspective on life armed with truth and knowledge. They are responding to a need by those of us who are searching for answers but didn't know who to ask. If you have any questions that you would like to send in to us anytime, you can send those in the week to enq@spirit-teaching.com, and I will read them out for you and put them to Gregory on the show. However, like I said, if you would rather phone in, then you can do that. USA and Canada, it's a free phone, 888-815-9756. International callers 001-530-876-3222, but that phone line isn't free. And it's general questions, not a personal reading. If you would like us to do a whole show on a topic that you have great interest in, then you can send me that and the questions that go with it, and maybe I can come up with a few more as well, or we could do it that way. Either way, like I said, this is over to you. The spirit world come through to speak to us about things that we want to know. So I believe somebody's online already, and we'll go to that just in a second. I will introduce Gregory to us, or Gregory will introduce himself to us, actually. All that faffing around with the controls. Here we are then. Hello, Gregory.
Yes, hello, friend. Hello. With love and light, blessings as ever, my dear friend. Little bird.
Hi. Hello. All right. Hello.
Greetings to you, my dear friend, and to all on the physical side of life. I am Gregory Hay of the White Cloud Group. I welcome you to this interaction and understanding that we hope to bring to you. And we would like to begin, in actual fact, with something, unless you would prefer to go to the call that you have.
But I can't find it now. I'm sorry, Don in the control room is going to be having nightmares with me, but they've changed the screen on this setting, and I noticed that I did have a call, and now I can't find it. So,
Anyway,
we'll just have to carry on for now, and hopefully it might pop up again.
Yes, well, so very well. So what we would like to talk of, is the matter of the voice.
Okay.
Now, from our perspective, we are very lucky in this particular situation at this present time, because even though we are of non-physical state, we have found a voice. A voice that is peculiar in many respects, because it doesn't interject. It doesn't busy itself with its own conditions. From our perspective, we gain a unique experience for being able to bring understanding, not of perspective, but of factual analysis of what actually exists from our side of life, from our world, our dimension, within our point of view. Our point of view is not heralded by some kind of religious experience or dogmatic principle that we were as individuals brought up with when in the physical side of life. In this respect, the voice for us appears to be very unique, purely and simply because within our situation here, the many thousands of us who are present at this present time and who are bringing their input into what I am talking over and what I am expressing, because I am, in a sense, the conduit for this voice. It means that the whole expression of what is transpiring is the thoughts and minds, the culmination of them, of thousands of people who have had physical life. So maybe, perhaps, some of you may be wondering, how is it that we can rankle with some and actually allow some energies who maybe are not quite as valid or quite as honorary or quite as shining or illuminated or illustrious as you would have it or like it to be when they were in physical life, but that somehow actually what happens is that for many beings, once they pass to our side of life, having been physical, they gain such a completely different perspective from their current physical life, and that is something which continues to evolve and change as their perceptions, as our perceptions of one thing upon another begins to grow, having already reached our physical perception and then continued to allow that to grow and flourish within the non-physical dimension. This means to say that in and through our lives, now physical, because we are, in a sense, remembering the way that we thought and talked and maybe did things when we were physical, and then non-physical, because we are using the energy and echelons of, in a sense, more aware concepts and precepts, it means that we are able to change our perspective to one of neutrality, in a sense, to one where we are, as added witnesses to your life, able to voice back within a voice. So in this respect, I'm saying that oftentimes what happens is that from your perspective on the physical side of life, you tend to have to question, rightly so, whatever energy or perceptions are coming through from our side, purely and simply because you want the highest and best. And this is all well and good. The situations will continue to evolve as you press for further actions and further answers to the ever-questioning mind. This, of course, is in your pursuit, not just of happiness, but of knowledge. Knowledge brings you out of the path of ignorance and manages you into further visits of understanding. That means understanding not of one person's peculiarity over another because they have a vested interest in it. This is part of the problem that you are facing at this present time, because many peoples are using their vested interests in order to mark their territory and in order as well to only allow certain information to be brought through so as to align their particular point of view. I dare say you could almost remonstrate the same situation through our dear friend here, the instrument, or through any other situation, because we actually don't bring through within the group validities concerning religious indoctrination. There are very good reasons for this, because religious indoctrination, in as far as the human race is concerned, are peculiar to the earth. They do not transform or transmit to other worlds. The individual icon or the individual, in a sense, set of rules and regulations which govern one religious body or another are purely of human descent. The situations and conditions that we realize are part of life are, in fact, inept, in a sense, when we are observing situations which are not confined to religious structure. That is not saying that the universe of non-physical matter is atheistic. It is not saying that the universe of non-physical matter does not have, in a sense, carried forward within it certain beings who maintain the structure of their religious inheritance and archetype, even though they may even come to understand that within the universe of non-physical matter, it actually doesn't exist. Their particular religion or their particular standpoint or how they have engineered themselves within their own little tribe or herding group, in a sense, of thought and parameters within which it is said. This means to say that we are not here to pour scorn, then, upon one particular group or another. That is a matter for other folk. And we don't bring it to this situation. The voice, and why we have used this particular one, not myself as Gregory Hay, but our friend, the instrument, is purely and simply because there are no precepts or concepts within mind that would upset the array. That means there is no religious background, there is no antisemitism, there is no atheistic quality either. The situation is moot, is in a sense a way of caring, but as we see from our perspective, that is not of a committed state other than being the vehicle. So that means to say, with the voice, of which you have to take care, that the whole situation has to be, in a sense, made this way in order for it to depict fact, no matter how harsh or ugly those may be. Because to the physical side of life, we are not here to dress things up. That means that we are not siding with one particular partiality to another. The whole point of the voice is that we are then able to bring about completeness, an idea of letting go of those situations which hold you back. Because in actual reality, the presence of them is humanistically manifest. It is not something which exists wholly in the universe of non-physical matter. As I say, there are many beings on our side of life who still stoically keep to their religious experience and extensions of bordering of themselves. And that means wholly and simply that the whole situation is really left to the desire of one to understand more about themselves or to choose not to do so. Now, when we look at the voice of those on your side of life, what you are trying to do is that you struggle against the backheaval of the mindset already originated. So that means that people who live in a dominated Christian country or a dominated Islamic country or however else that country is dominated by religious persecutions of the past or by dogma and theoretical theism of the future or the present. It actually means that those castles that are built within the mind create the walls of imperfection in reality. Because, quite simply, these are, in a sense, presenting these castles where no being within those borders may stray. So it means to say that what you have are human beings creating prisons of themselves. We can see and acknowledge many human beings presently on your side of life struggling for their own voice of perfection. What you have to understand, dear friends, is that each and every one of you has your own voice within you. You do not have to always seek outside of yourself in respect of making your voice heard above the clamor of others in the physical sense. You can create your voice by writing. And I understand that even with that, within the freest of thinking, makes it quite impossible for some people in some countries to even bring free thought onto paper. This, of course, shows, in a sense, their backward state and their reluctance to move from the Stone Age into the present modality and forward thinking that is so necessary for human beings to manage their planet adequately and to understand the true ecological extent of their manifestation and duty of care. In this respect, it means to say that we acknowledge it exists, we are not here to pour fat upon this fire, but simply by acknowledging it, we are saying within all of our energies, and there are beings here present within this particular group who are from every single tribe of the physical planet. That means to say that there are beings here who, through their minds and their understanding, maybe they have great reticent journeys to do with how they ache for things to be as they were from hundreds, if not thousands, of years ago. But within our vantage point, we can see quite clearly that humanity, for survival state, have to move forward, has to be not dominant, but dominant over certain areas, such as pollution, such as the evaluation and understanding of the planet's surface and its structure, so as not to bring it into risk, but rather to bring it into welfare and understanding. That all creatures have the same abiding right as you. Unfortunately, much of this will go onto deaf ears and fall by the wayside. But for those of you who wish to journey beyond yourselves and beyond your present state of reason, I have this to say. Remember that every single being is one, is as one as you are, and that every single being has voice, has voice as you are, even if you do not have a larynx, even if you do not have sight, you can still communicate in one way or other to enable freedom and the continuing search for it to be aided to those who desire it beyond their wildest dreams.
Okay, well, thank you for that, Gregory. The thing is, it only takes, it's just a matter of a few people making such a difference to the world, the negative impact, like you say, they're not even allowed to, like, say, go on the internet or write or whatever, everything, to make a difference. So
yes,
the world is stopped from moving forward, really, by only a few people, in a way.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
That is true.
So that's hopefully the people that need to hear this do hear this. I'd just like to go back to, instead of the religious aspect, instead of waiting for the kingdom of heaven, the keys to the kingdom of heaven, or whatever it is with the religion that somebody is following, because it's all about what's going to happen when they die, really, isn't it?
It's all about that. Yes,
that's right. So what do they say they are waiting for when they are continuing in their group situations?
On our side of life.
Yeah, in the spirit world, then. What is the next step that they feel they are aligning themselves towards?
So, for example, there are many, many millions of beings who are still waiting for the second coming on our side of life, okay. However that should manifest. And there are many millions who still completely are complicit within Sharia law and wish for all beings to be instructed in that model and in that understanding. There are still beings who continue to think in the way of the ancient ways of nomadic peoples and tribal peoples, that they still wish to hearken to those times before this present time now, because they see in those eras, they don't see the errors of those eras, you see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They see rather the romantic principle that was set behind it. And this, it tends to be also what can happen sometimes with human beings in the present kingdom of physical state when trying to understand the past and bring it into perspective, dragging it, kicking and screaming instead into the present, when it actually doesn't fit. So, for example, you have situations now where people in certain tribes are clamoring to once again hunt whales or something like that, because purely and simply it was part of their nomadic existence. But in actual fact, maybe it is actual time for those edicts and those presentations of what they did to be left in the past. You don't have to continue them. You can continue in the way in which people do from certain islands of tribal inheritance, where they go out and they actually do the operational part of whaling or something like that, but they don't actually catch them. They do it as a spiritual treaty, if you like, to their ancestors. And that I understand completely and is completely acceptable. They are not taking life to do that. See?
Mm, I didn't know about that.
And so that's something, for example, that various peoples for example, New Zealand, where they have a very ancient tribe of understanding to do with whales. They have whale riders and all of that.
Mm,
yes?
I see.
To do with the hunting situation. They don't actually go hunting now. They use it as a spiritual freedom voice.
Mm. Yep.
And so it's actually something that's really quite beautiful, because they still have their beautiful, very large and very long boats that they make purely for that reason, as a spiritual treaty to their ancestors.
Mm.
And so that means that the whole value of that becomes increased in the psyche and in the minds of others who view it, because that is a valid point. It's like, in a sense, North American tribes who continue to do the sundance, or who continue to enact various other spiritualized situations, like the smoke...
Sweat lodge.
Yes, the sweat lodge,
yeah.
And all of that,
yeah.
You see. Many North American Indian peoples and peoples from other parts of the world too, within their ancient tribal customs, still do that to create and understand the manifestation of spiritual value that they gain from that experience of communicating with their ancestors and doing so in that kind of environment. Of course, it's not actually going to be a situation that will fit everyone. And in actual fact, for many people introduced to that kind of situation, particularly, I have to say, Northern Europeans or people who are not used to that sort of atmosphere, they can actually expire completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And pass, as has happened recently in the North American continent. So we see that these kinds of situations, you have to be extremely careful in these values. It's all right for the situations of those who are used to those events. And if you're not, you have to begin at the bottom, in a sense, and not just think, oh, I'm very spiritual, I want to engage in this, you see.
Mm.
And that, in a sense, is not honoring, if you're doing that, that's not really honoring the native ancestral heritage, tribal heritage, that you are supposed to be, in a sense, applauding by taking part in that, because it actually can be quite dangerous for you. So that's not to say spiritually, but physically, because many Western people may not actually be able to take that kind of atmospheric change, because it's quite stifling in respect of oxygen, which the physical body needs.
Mm.
So that's not to say there's anything against that religious understanding, and I'm not deterring too much from your question. Really, the situation continues to be that many on our side of life, for example, that many, many beings who passed to our side of life and who throughout their physical life were interested in different native or tribal customs and situations are actually enabled to go and visit with those situations, because the ancestral melody doesn't keep within itself. It's a very sharing and giving situation. So it means when those religious understandings and spiritualization are so open, it means that you actually have a much greater flow of knowledge coming from one to another. And that's a great sharing experience. So there are many millions of beings on our side of life who have actually shared in the ancient tribal customs of various different groups, even though they weren't actually physically a part of it when in physical life.
And that's just ones from the physical earth plane experience.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So not to mention all of those from other species groups from elsewhere within the universe.
It's all about an open mind or a closed mind, isn't it, really?
Yes, or whether you are open or closed, whether you are prepared to accept something that's new and different and sometimes contrary to your own belief. Belief is what it is. It's belief. It's not truth. You have to remember that belief and faith are the makings of some kind of understanding which may not be factual, which may be steeped in history and historical facets, which can at times be labored by one individual who has a vested interest in that labor. So you have to be careful, as in exactly the same as the imprints of history throughout humankind. We observe the partaking of one objective to another, one nationality of another, and the way that they both argue over what happened in this war or that war. Napoleon and Wellington are still arguing.
Are they?
Yes, absolutely so. Who did what and when and for what reason?
Dear me.
Yes, absolutely.
Hmm.
But only on certain dates, usually on the dates when they celebrate that one side or the other lost or won a certain piece of land.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. So it's not that they actually go to war over it anymore, but there are still disagreements over what events actually happened. And of course, that means we have to get out the Akashic books of those events to see the description of the different people or beings who pass to our side of life, and then vet those and have their summations of what actually duly happened, so that the beings who thought that they were in charge of it really came to understand what events actually transpired, and not some circus of information that was delivered by their generals or whatever.
So that means the ego goes with you then, in that respect?
To some extent, yes, absolutely. That's why we've always said, my dear friend, that there are many who understand that those of Roman Catholic origin continue to keep themselves to themselves and separated from everyone else, as do other religious extreme groups, and still continuing their blessed interest, you see.
Mm.
And still keep themselves completely apart from everyone else, thinking that they are far better than.
Dear me. Okay. Wow.
Unfortunately, that's the case. Mm. Until, because you have to remember that the whole energy of the spirit world and the non-physical universe is really about letting go, as is the physical life, after all.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I've got a few questions here, actually, fit in with this conversation quite nicely. Trying to think which way round to do this.
Yeah.
Here we are. Here's one from Rhea, okay, from the UK. Do we ever have free will, or are we guided in spite of our desires?
You always have free will, my dear friend. That is a fact. How you are guided, misguided, cajoled, or in other ways shielded from truth, or made to live your life in a way that is in actual fact a falsehood, is simply done because you give way to others' energy, who then gain power over you. You yourself, the beautiful being that you are, sitting in your chair right now, has every perception available to you if you just let go of past interference which has beguiled you, set you on a certain course, set you on a certain pathway. So it means to say, all of these situations, trials and tribulations, parents, guardians, people who you went to school with, adversarial conditions that led you down this path or that path, whether that was to do with adversarial conditions of a planetary climatic nature or situations or events that happened which were in spite or despite or nothing to do with your own free will, but simply happened because of someone else's decision over you. That was not the spirit world having a hand in it. It may be from time to time that our side of the universe is enabled to break through to your side to enable an aversion or a movement away from some catastrophe or other. But we certainly are not in every place, in every moment of every moment's thought. So that means to say that you have free will. And it's a matter entirely of your choosing as to which path or what energy you allow or enable to come to you, or that is overtaking you and usurping your energy even against your free will. So I'm not saying that everything that every being suffers from is something that they've enhanced. I'm not saying that everything that a being suffers from is their fault or something they've attracted to them. Far from it. You are leading physical life. Unlike on our side of life, you are leading physical life. So that means to say that oftentimes you, each and every one of you, face or bring about risk to whatever event and personality, whatever decision and justification you make for this or that tribal move, is usually and really, very rarely, your fault. Sometimes it is your fault because you encase it, because you attract it, because you do something that's really naughty or very bad. You pick up a knife, you throw stones at somebody, you throw rocks, beat someone with a stick. It's going to come back to you one way or another. Karma will catch up within your physical life and will then continue after your physical life into the multiverse dimension in which we live, in order for you to make recompense and compensation for the events you unleashed or were unleashed to you. That's part of the way of energy movement and also bringing everything into understanding. It's not immediate. Sometimes these events can take hundreds of years in terms of your aspect of what you understand time to be. Time doesn't exist on our side of life. I'm not going to go down that route. So it's just to say that what you have to perceive of within your own rite of passage is that you have a rite of passage. And that means, just as the poor gentleman who sits and languishes in a prison cell at this present time in the heart of China, that in actual fact, his time is not up. That in actual fact, His words continue to speak volumes even without his presence. So he will just sit there in silence, allowing his words to speak for him. They are already in print across the world. And no amount of Chinese anger and vitriolic cynicism that they wish to unleash upon anyone can stop it.
So really, our mind is our worst enemy, isn't it?
Yes.
We trap ourselves in our mind.
Yes, little bird.
And limit what we feel we can do. I mean, that is... You know, I have to say that with our Akashic readings, that this seems to be one of the biggest...
Biggest hurdles.
Yes, the major problem. Absolutely. That comes up. Yes. Time and time again for their various reasons.
Yes.
Obviously, individually. Yes. But so we trap ourselves. We are our worst enemy. We do have free will. We can
Absolutely.
Be guided if we let go of a lot of these chains that we think
Yes.
are there around us, stopping us from doing these things.
Yes.
Then we can be guided from within.
Yes, that's right. From our own beautiful spirit.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's just letting go of the fear of feeling that you can't do something.
And because someone makes it obvious that they have such greater power over you that they stop you.
Well, yes, or, you know, financial implications stop us.
Yes, yeah.
But, you know, seriously, if you're in the right zone, most things you will be able to find a way around and to get over, really, basically.
Yes.
You never know. It's just once you've closed off from it, then you aren't going to see anything, even if it comes and knocks you on the forehead and you fall over.
Yes.
It's
And you find yourself living the obstacle.
Yes, exactly. So that's a good question. You wouldn't think that there was so much in behind that. Thank you for that,
Leah.
Yes,
thank you, sir.
Lovely.
Yes.
Okay. All right, here's another one from Sage in the UK.
Yes, yes.
In this country, we abandoned class distinction years ago.
Yes.
Are we fooling ourselves into believing that we are all equal? Should we have retained the situation of the rich man and his castle and the poor man at his gate? Although money doesn't mean anything much when it comes to spiritual growth, I understand, but... What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think, my dear friend, it actually all depends on who you speak to, because there are many who are still in their castles who maintain that they are far and above anyone else of the poor or paupers or minions who happen to be at their beck and call whenever they desire it.
Yeah, but, you know, let's face it, though, you don't usually see those people at the workshops expanding their sort of spiritual development, do you?
No. Indeed not.
So that, you know, I mean, it's an interesting thought.
Yes, I understand that. So the perception is one of class, does it still exist? And that is going to say, my dear friend, with greatest respect, it's going to depend entirely upon who you speak to. And if it becomes that the being that you speak to has any objections or has any issues, if you like, in the back of their consciousness, that actually means that they are still feeling that they are separate from yourself in terms of ownership or ability to order something that is above you, or not even to have a concept of what you may be or how you may think or how you may operate in your life. One could see that in many respects, my dear friend, you would have to actually feel quite sorry for someone who was that closed-minded and that unaware of the realities of life. Perhaps then, in exactly the same way, if you have a family who is, in a sense, sheltered from reality, not... figuratively, because they may well be aware of situations and events as transpire across the planet. However, their actual experience of these events in a first-hand knowledgeable experience of what actually befalls them and happens to them is then thought as being something that they would never understand.
Mm.
I feel in some respects it's one of the situations that happened in China all of those years ago when they actually took the last emperor, in fact, and made him do chores and stripped him of his emperorship. And they actually made him be like a normal human being. But then in actual fact, he actually struggled quite a lot for a number of years to do with how to perceive of such things, because everything was done for him before that event took place.
Yes. I mean, in the UK, I don't think we did abandon class distinction, personally.
No.
Really?
No, I would have to agree with you in many respects, my dear friend.
I've lived in every class system that you can imagine.
Yes.
Through my life, so yes. I do feel that I am qualified to make judgment on that.
Yes.
And I just don't think we have, basically.
Yes.
And you know, although she says money doesn't mean anything much when it comes to spiritual growth,
but it does to those who can afford more workshops than someone else, because then obviously they're evidence of their spirituality seems to have a greater easement from it.
I don't know. It's an interesting point.
But it's that's also becoming a perception too, so that there will be people who struggle for months and months to save for a workshop or some such thing that they wish to take part in, perhaps because of someone who has an idyllic message or however to transform. I understand that, because they're trying to retrace the need. What we are saying is that much of this, although you as human physical beings need to discover the workings and orientation, perhaps, of some gift or other that you may have, it does not mean to say that you have to spend endless hours in workshops in order to attend to your spiritual verse and understanding. Because in actual fact, so much of it comes from the depths of how you yourself create thought as living things.
Mm. Yes, well, in your Akashic readings, it's something that is usually very helpful to people who are trying to expand their spiritual awareness and to find out about their gifts and that sort of thing. It's good to know that you don't have to have a lot of money in order to do that.
You might have to
have money to gain a certificate or diploma in something that you move on to from that, but actually something that belongs to you, that is inherent within you, your spiritual identity, your spiritual gift, then that's free.
Yes, absolutely. And the diploma and all of the other certification that you obviously not just admire, but that you actually need in order to practice within some vocations and some situations are, of course, very necessary, like becoming a doctor, a surgeon, a fireman, whatever. You have to have a certain amount of training in order to do that. I understand that. But much of the situation, particularly to do with spiritual freedom, comes from within in any event. You don't have to read reams and reams of manuals and books upon it or pass certification in order to have understanding of these situations. I know that there are many who will disagree with this, particularly those who are strident or ardent followers of one religious understanding or another, who then have taken spirituality to the nth degree and claimed it as a religion.
Well, yes, exactly. Yeah, we have to turn it into something that we can own and proclaim.
Yes,
is
yes.
ours so, and is man-made. That's the human thing,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, quite so. And so it means that the whole situation, the system of spirit manifestation of within the physical side of life becomes, in a sense, a moot point, because what you're doing is, in fact, moving away from it. Yes, you're gaining the trappings of physicality. That doesn't make you a good or beautiful medium. What makes you a beautiful medium or a translator of one voice to another is your ability. The ability doesn't only come through being taught, it comes through listening.
And what about, could I have another question from John where's that from? Oregon. And the thing is, he did say mentioned about money paying for spiritual gifts and that sort of thing, as in pay, you know, like becoming a professional.
Yes.
Worrying about that, if this should be so, when
I understand.
A gift.
Yes, I understand. But my point really is that gifts have to be worked upon. As I say, you have to spend time developing that gift. Now, however that development takes place means that if it's something like Reiki, then you go do a Reiki course. Part of it is only open to you because it's something that gives you a certification. The other part of it is to do with your mindset. You can go and read a book on Reiki attunements and different situations and see where that takes you. So that's not a great deal of cost effectiveness in respect of your outlay. However, if you want to be certified and therefore enable that situation to be developed in a physical and financial way, then that's something that you have to do. I am not against the situation of human beings actually saying, well, I have this spiritual gift, so it's worth a cup of tea and a biscuit, or it's worth a goat, or it's worth two chickens.
Okay.
You see?
Yeah.
That's just really something that what you're dealing with when you're dealing with finance or money are vouchers. They are symbols of an inheritance. But to some people, they're an entrapment. So just think of it that $40 is 20 chickens. $5 is a bag of lemons.
Okay.
Or apples, you see? And then you can move on. You don't have to think in terms of what you give is worth this much.
Well, I think what people obviously, you know, in this day and age, if somebody's going to somebody's house and they're going to spend an hour there and it takes them an hour to get there, an hour to get back.
That's 3 hours.
There's only so many hours in the day, daylight.
Yes.
To earn a living, to pay the rent, the bills, and et cetera.
Roof, food.
Exactly. So it's all got to come down to that, really.
Right.
You've got to take the spirituality out of it. Because, you have to live the same as anybody else.
Yes.
As long as you're worth the money, and that will only tell by people coming back.
Yes, that's right. Otherwise, you could do exactly the same thing that many monks do, which is they live off everyone else and then claim deeper spirituality for doing it. Thank you very much. I'll have another cup of tea.
Yeah.
Or another meal from you, which you will relish in giving to me because I am giving you spirituality and you are giving me food and a roof over my head for the privilege.
Yeah, you see, we don't think about things like that, do we?
Exactly. So there's a payment.
Mm. Mm.
So perhaps, my dear friend, what you have to also perceive of is that people who are priests or clergy, they are paid financial benefit. But that appears not to be something that's sniffed at.
Yeah, that's a point, actually. That's the point.
See?
Because they come round and they are really sweet and nice.
Yes.
You know, say
so they're administering to this person or that person, but they also want for you to continue to support them. And they're also paid, I understand, as well. Mm. A figure which is recognizant within their duty of care to others.
Yeah, it's not a case of getting cynical, but it's just common sense. So basically,
you live in the physical world.
Yeah, so basically, you know, in answer to your question, you know, if people will pay for your gift, you know, then then why not? Because I think a lot of the time people get suspicious anyway.
Yes.
You know, because it's like you feel you're not worth it. So
that is true. On the other hand, if you are a person who wants the price of an automobile to have a spiritual experience with them, then I would question that.
Yeah.
And I would question it roundly and say, well, I think that that's someone who obviously has more money than sense.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
To be dealing with, not someone who actually works very hard for their hard-earned deliverance, to then find that actually going to that person who charges in excess, then that means that somehow your spiritual value is supposed to be that much more further forward. Ah, that's much more ascended than perhaps.
Yes, and the thing is, you know, if somebody can only do so many Reiki attunements in a day, then obviously, you know, and if you have to judge it by how much you need to earn a day to live, then that's something that you can work it out from. Same with the readings. You can't, it's not like you're working 9 to 5 and you're going to be doing readings for all of that time.
And it also, of course, depends upon how many gold taps you want in your living quarters.
You're naughty.
I know.
Aren't you? Well, we've come to time.
Yes, so, my dear friend. So it is with all of these trappings of silk and finery, it is with the greatest love and affection, my dear friends, that we leave you at this present time. I thank you so very, very much. God bless upon your journeys. And remember, you each have a voice. Learn to use the voice you have and learn to admire it and hone it to perfection. With love we leave you. God bless.
Thank you, Gregory. Well, sorry about the mess up with the phone system. Totally our problem. Studio's absolutely fine. We'll get that right for you for next week. Thank you so much for listening anyway. My name is Sylvie Avery, and this has been Spirit's Work on the wonderful bbsradio.com. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.